Hi, everyone. This is JP, and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. And before we get into it, I just want to ask real quick if you could take a moment to be sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out on future Exploring EOS podcasts. Also, take just a moment to share this or rate and review this in your podcast player, because those are the ways that we can spread the word about EOS and get more people exploring EOS with all of us. Today we have a great interview with Chaney Moore. He's a repeat guest coming back on to talk about airdrops yet again. We're going to focus mostly on Higher Vibes, which is a very interesting airdrop, but we will touch on a few others. So hope you enjoy. Chaney, welcome back to the Exploring EOS podcast.
Thanks for having me again, John Paul.
You know, you are the first repeat guest we've ever had. So.
Oh, wow. No, I had not realized that. I'm honored.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you back. You are kind of my go-to airdrop guru.
I'll take it.
You know, you're the River King Fisher, but you're here on the Exploring EOS podcast. You are the airdrop king as well.
The small group that I talk to regularly via chat have dubbed me Airdrop Chaney. So I'll take Airdrop Guru as well.
Nice. Okay. Well, so last time, for those listening, you were here talking about your airdrop assessment tool. And this time you have applied that tool and those metrics that you came up with to an upcoming airdrop known as Higher Vibes. And you wrote up a nice article about that on Medium. So I just wanted to run through all the research you've done on Higher Vibes and give people an update and your take on this upcoming distributed application.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. I wrote this one with the intent to guide people through using the tool on a real world project that's coming out. And so I had looked into Higher Vibes previously, liked it, was excited by it, which is why I chose it. I think I mentioned in the last show, I'm going to look at doing two a month probably if I can. And so this is the first deep dive, and I want to walk people through the thought process, and I'll try to do this again every few weeks. So looking at Higher Vibes, let's start off right at the very beginning. What is Higher Vibes? It is a dApp that is hopefully going to replace the recruitment agent. It's if you don't know what a recruiter is, it's somebody that goes out for a corporation or business and finds good talent to fill a role that they're having trouble filling. And this recruitment agency sector enjoys it's a pretty big sector based on what was out there, about a $250 billion annual revenue market today. Wow. So it's a large market. There's a lot of money out there. So it's ripe for disruption by blockchain.
Yeah, real quick. Is that a worldwide number?
That is a worldwide number. That's okay. Correct.
Interesting. That seems astronomical to me, but I guess, you know, all of employment throughout the whole world, you know, and I guess it kind of makes sense.
When you look at how much these recruitment agents can charge for a hire, for finding the right person for the job, it adds up pretty quickly. I've seen some even higher, but it looks like the average fee is between 15 to 25% of that employee's annual salary. So if that employee, you know, these are corporations, if that employee makes $80,000 a year, you know, we're talking about $12,000 to $15,000, $12,000 to $25,000 pretty quickly. And then if you extrapolate that and say that some of these are really high paying jobs, well, it gets expensive very fast. So hopefully what will happen is the Higher Vibes dApp can offer a similar service for a much lower price. Instead of charging 15 to 50%, employers or corporations, companies will be charged just 7.5% of the new hire salary. If they want some specialized attention, there'll be another 2.5% fee they can pay for what Higher Vibes is dubbing a recruitment facilitator, someone to personally assist them through the process and help them find a better candidate. But what happens is they put the job posting out on the Higher Vibes staff, and the new hire, the person that ultimately gets the job, instead of the recruitment agent getting this fee, the employee being hired gets 4% of their salary is essentially a bonus for accepting the job and using Higher Vibes to find the job. And then an additional 1% goes to charity. Now, if the new hire was referred that job by another party through Higher Vibes, then that 4% is actually split between the new hire and the referrer of that job. So let's say it was a $50,000 a year job, then each party would get $1,000 and $500 would go to charity. In addition to that, there's, you know, 2.5% we haven't talked about.
Right. Yeah. Where does that come in?
So 1.25%, half of that remainder will go to the holders of the Higher Vibes token. So if you own Higher Vibes and that $50,000 a year job is filled, then $625 will go to the token pool. And once that pool has reached a certain threshold, then those tokens will be distributed to the token holders as a dividend, if you will. Then the other half of that, the other 1.25%, $625 worth of tokens would go to a worker proposal fund, very similar to what we're looking at with EOS and the Higher Vibes Decentralized Autonomous Community, the DAC, will be the one that votes on what to do with that funds. You know, they can use it for promotions or additional dividends or burn it or however they see fit. So
okay,
it's a pretty neat model. It's another, you know, you and I have talked about passive income in previous episodes, and it's another metric for passive income.
Yeah, definitely. I love that concept. I actually highlighted that sentence there because I wasn't sure I was understanding it correctly. So in your article where you're talking about that 1.25% of the fee, basically the hiring fee, I guess you'd call it, mm-hmm. Or the recruiting fee, will then be dropped back to or paid back to the token holders. And when I say token holders, that's not necessarily the EOS token holders. That's the holders of the Higher Vibes token.
That's correct.
The native token for this DAP, which is running on the EOS platform.
Yes, and we don't know when that snapshot will be. They may choose to use the Genesis snapshot, but they have not come out and stated at this time, I believe, that they'll use the Genesis snapshot. If you look back on the tracking spreadsheet right now, I believe it's still to be determined and that they're planning to drop sometime this quarter.
Okay.
And after I published this article, they did reach out to me. I did see some chatter that there will be some announcements coming soon. It may happen before you were able to even get this out.
Oh yeah, interesting. Okay, I'll have to keep an eye out for that because this will be coming out and it'll be a little while before this episode airs. So let me just make sure I understand how this DAP is going to work. Basically, this recruitment fee is normally 15% to 25%. And using the blockchain through the Higher Vibes DAP, they're going to bring that down to 7.5% by basically cutting out the middlemen, these big recruiting firms, and then incentivizing people to refer for jobs.
That's it.
Is that it?
So they're going to pay John Paul and Cheney and anybody in the world. You don't have to own Higher Vibes tokens to get the job. You don't have to own Higher Vibe tokens to refer somebody the job. You just have to know about the DAP and have access to it and use it to send somebody you think might qualify for a job the opportunity.
Okay. So you don't necessarily have to go out and buy $1,000 worth of Higher Vibes tokens in order to then refer your friend or a colleague or whatever. You just make the referral and, you know, use the app to do that, and then you'll get rewarded. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it would if you kept it just to token holders, it would definitely limit the environment that they're trying to disrupt. You know, you want to get it out there and get it used by everybody you can, and this is a great way to do it. Now, the reason it drives, and I believe the reason it drives the Higher Vibes supply or the token demand is that when these fees are paid by the end corporation, the end hiring company, they'll be paid potentially in fiat, but that fiat will be converted at some point to higher vibe tokens. And it's actually those tokens that will be distributed. So it's going to be creating a demand. It's going to be creating an existing market for these tokens. And that's what I like about this model, is it's not paying us token holders and other fees. They're not creating another token to pay us out in. They're going to have to be buying higher vibe tokens along the way. And that could certainly drive the price of higher vibes tokens up in the future if their model succeeds.
Yeah, well, this is definitely an interesting thing. I had heard about this before, but it's helpful to talk through how this actually works, because I've never actually, you know, been a part of a recruiting process like this, where I know it's common in kind of corporate settings and things like that. But
that's true. I mean, if you're not part of a corporate environment, you probably may have not experienced anything like this before. So, you know, we can kind of talk about how that rolls into, you know, the article. Is this a project I'll actively use? Well, maybe not for John Paul. Maybe you don't have the network potentially, or the experience that you want to go out and actually use those tokens. I, on the other hand, I do have a large network. I'm active on LinkedIn. I have a corporation where they've actually do referrals fees in the past for different roles. So I'm used to reaching out to people and seeing if they want to do the job.
Yeah. So, and just to remind everyone, if you haven't heard the other episode, part of Cheney's system for evaluating airdrops and what to do with the tokens when you get them is, how interested are you in the project? Can you see yourself as being a part of it or using it, being a part of the community? And so you and I, Cheney, will come out a little bit differently using your analysis, because yeah, this is a little bit foreign to me and I don't see myself really using it, but you, on the other hand, you do. So
that's right. And so there's another part of this one with the talking about the analysis. You may not want to use the tokens, but if you want to be a token holder because you like other aspects of the token, you're going to have to be involved in this project's community, because one of the things that they're doing with that distribution back to holders is that if you do not actively participate in the voting of their worker proposal fee once a month, once every 30 days, or I think it's actually once every 28 days, they will reduce your distribution by 90%. So they want people active, and they're going to, in a way, force you to be an active member of their community by just at least voting once a month on which proposals you find most beneficial. And if you don't do that, instead of getting 1.25% of the higher fees, you're going to get a little bit more than 10%. You're going to get 0.125% of those fees. So they're going to force you to be active. They're going to force you to at least take some interest in the DAC and be a member of the DAC if you want to hold on to it. So everybody needs to be aware of that. If it's not something you want to do, or you may not think you want to do, just keep in mind that it may impact the benefit you receive from holding these tokens.
Okay, so there's a passive income element, but it's to get the full benefit. It's not completely passive.
That's correct. You need to have a little involvement. I believe they intend the DAP to have a voting mechanism embedded in it, and that may be separate. I'm not entirely sure. So it's something you're going to have to be aware of going forward.
That's interesting from the perspective of an employer who buys into this and wants to use this to help find good talent. They are going to be buying up these tokens, and they could potentially be voting, right? By holding these tokens, voting, and, you know, and until they need to use the tokens to pay out or whatever.
That's true. Now, see, it may be, and I'm not entirely sure, John Paul, it may be that the employer buys the tokens themselves, and they certainly could do that and then pay out, or they may pay in some form of fiat. I really don't know how that payment. I would hope it's going to be on blockchain. I hope they have to go out and buy the tokens, and then they're the ones that actually pay that fee. But I could see situations where certain corporations are not so savvy and choose to pay in some other form, some US dollar or euro or some other form, and then that is converted into higher vibes token. We'll have to wait and see how that one plays out.
Sure.
I would like, I'd love it to be all on blockchain, of course, but I'm not certain we're there today.
Right, right. What is the chance of success? Like, how do you see this as like a how viable do you see this project?
Sure. Well, we already talked about how big the space is. I think it's ripe for disruption. You know, so going into the chance of success, what is the project's goal, and is there a reason to be on blockchain? Well, they're and I'll read it real quick. Higher Vibes aims to redirect the flow of wealth going to centralized agencies into a river of resources for people and the planet using cryptocurrency, smart contract technology, and swarm intelligence methodologies. Higher Vibes will be an open source crowdsourcing jobs dApp on the EOS IO software. So the opportunities there, I think that it's great to be on blockchain where it's above board. The only concern I have is what we just talked about, whether or not corporations are going to be ready to pay in Higher Vibes tokens, or will they want to pay in fiat? And will that be as crystal clear and open? I don't know. But the goal is reasonable. The fees that are charged are reasonable. I think it's got a chance.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. See, my perspective, and this might be because I'm not too familiar with this space, but I wonder if this will be something that blockchain could definitely disrupt, but blockchain isn't quite mature enough to really disrupt it, just because of the corporate settings tend to be kind of conservative. They don't like to try new things. And until blockchain is a little more established, I would be a little concerned that maybe they're not going to be up for it. That. And so I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here. And then the other thing I was thinking of is like the potential price swings in the actual tokens.
So that's good points. And I think that really the biggest issue is the one you first mentioned. The fact that you have to overcome corporate structures and corporate bureaucracy, potentially, at least in a large scale, to get this to work. You know, they could start off at the very small level. They could start off at companies that have 5 people or 10 people. They could be looking at startups, even in the blockchain technology, to get their footing. You know, looking at these small developers that are hiring 1 or 2 people. But those people may not have the funds necessary to pay out fees. But corporations move slowly, they change slowly, and you're absolutely right, this is going to be a problem. However, you don't necessarily have to approach it from the standpoint that, hey, this is blockchain technology, this is a new dApp. It's really, at the end of the day, for corporations, shouldn't be that much different than putting a job description on monster.com or on LinkedIn or some other website that lists it. And hopefully they can use that without having to get into the blockchain weeds potentially. Now, you mentioned the price. The fluctuation of the Higher Vibes tokens shouldn't impact them too much. They don't have to go out and buy Higher Vibes tokens until the point where they are asking or they have reached a successful hire. So at that point, the fee is a set percent. It's 7.5% or 10% of whatever that employee was annual salary is. Mm-hmm. So it's really not a fluctuating metric for the company.
I see. So as long as there's enough liquidity, that could be a problem right at the beginning.
If there's only one Higher Vibe token out there and it's selling for $1,000, you know, or whatever the case may be, yeah, they may only have to buy one Higher Vibes token versus 1,000. So it's going to be set by the market.
Sure, sure. That makes sense.
So going on the next metrics here, yeah. Is the project team identified? Yeah, they've done a great job. I've linked to it in the paper. There's 10 employees out there that are members of this development team. They did a great job. They had links to their LinkedIn accounts. You can see their background. They've got to Kyle, the Awakenman, and his YouTube videos. They've got some pretty good backing there. They have blockchain experience. They have technical experience. They have dApp experience. They did not, at least at face, have someone on there that had really good HR or recruitment agent experience. And I did put that in the paper here. And they reached out to me actually, and followed up and said one of the individuals that's on their team actually has 7 years of corporate experience. So that may not be as big of an issue as I thought it was in the paper. I do need to update the paper to reflect that.
Okay. Corporate experience in human resources?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that'd be a big red flag. It didn't have any really industry experts.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that's good.
So they did not receive any third-party funding or EOS-related venture capital. But, you know, that's not critical. That's just an extra vote of confidence, in my opinion. I read through their white paper. It was pretty easy to read. It was straightforward. It was understandable. I've linked to it in the article. Their website is pretty easy to explore as well. And I've linked to it as in addition. You can go to the article and find all the necessary information you want there. And what does success for the project mean for Higher Vibes token, which is the ultimate metric that we're looking at here? If Higher Vibes does disrupt the recruitment agency business, then a couple of things. The Higher Vibes token value will increase, and you'll receive a lot of dividends, hopefully. So if the DAP is successful, then your pocketbook should see growth in that regards.
Sure. Yeah, very cool. So let's bring this all together. How did you end up rating this on your airdrop assessment grid? Actually, before you answer that, could you explain the grid real quick?
Sure. So there's two axes on the grid. The x-axis is the chance of success, low to high, and then the y-axis is the my excitement level, low to high. And so if it's low, you know, you're probably going to get rid of it pretty quickly. If it's medium, you're probably going to take a little money up front and follow along. But in this case, for me personally, and like I said, you will have a different perspective here, but it's a lunar launch for me. It's a high. I will hold on to my Higher Vibes tokens. I will use the DAP. I will vote in the DAC, and I will probably, you know, join their Telegram group just to see how things are going and follow them on Twitter and that sort of thing. So I'm planning probably to stay around for at least a few years and see if it gets off the ground and how it does.
Yeah. And you may even refer some people, right?
I definitely will be looking to use the DAP when it comes out, and hopefully I can get some additional juicy Higher Vibes tokens along the way.
Very nice.
Now, as I was going through this, John Paul, you know, doing my assessment, I did come up with a couple of different metrics or criteria that I'm going to add, or I did add for this one, and I think it's important to look at in the future as well. So just briefly, I want to touch on those.
Sure.
One of the things you need to think about when these airdrops come out is the total talk token supply compared with the amount airdropped to the community. And of importance is how many are held by the development team and how long they take to vest. So why do we care about those? If they're dropping a small percent to the community, then perhaps they don't place as much value on or how we will create the market for their token. And if the team does, you know, keeps a large amount, what are they going to do with those? So really you want to see a pretty equal sharing or an overweight sharing with the community from an airdrop perspective to create that. And, you know, I like the range of 40 to 80%, honestly, is a good metric. So in this case, and you also don't want to have those tokens immediately available for the team. You want to make sure that they have those tokens released over a long period of time to ensure that they have a vested interest in the project and will continue to support the project for a given time. An example, that's Block.One. You know, they have their 10% of their EOS locked up for a 10-year period, and it's trickled out to them every year. So Higher Vibes, they are dropping 71% of their tokens, 250 million out of 350 million. That's a pretty good ratio. You know, I like that. But one thing is they are giving 50 million of those tokens up front to the DAC so that the DAC can have that treasury there to do some working proposals immediately. So when you add that in, they're only keeping a little less than 15%. And I think that's a little low. But when I stepped back and looked at, there's only 10 members on the development team. That equates to, now they may not get it equally, but that equates to about 5 million tokens per team member. So that doesn't seem too bad when you consider the entire supply is only 350 million tokens. Now, the thing that I did find somewhat unfortunate is that they receive 40% of their tokens at launch, the DAP launch, and then every 6 months after that, they receive another 20% of those tokens. So they could walk away, theoretically, walk away a year and a half after the DAP is developed, if they so choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a little concerning. I think, you know, the people over at at Higher Vibes. They are, I think we actually forgot to mention this, they're from the block producer candidate, right?
Yes, EOS Vibes, that's correct.
EOS Vibes. And so I don't really have any reason to think that they would walk away knowing who they are and everything, but they're not incentivized with, you know, by having the tokens locked up for a longer period. So
now that said, you know, we can track it. It's on blockchain. We can see when they move those tokens around, and hopefully they'll continue to value their project and be a long-term owner of the tokens and be incentivized from that perspective.
Yeah. I have one other thing that I had heard a few weeks ago, I think. I think one of the EOS Vibes people was being interviewed on EOS Go or something like that. And they were mentioning, you know, we may have to slow down our work on Higher Vibes because we're not like in the top 21 block producers. We're not making as much money as we had anticipated to be able to support Higher Vibes. And a lot of block producers are have plans or are using some of their profits from block producing to try to then reinvest into applications to run on EOS as a way to build up the whole system. And so I was just curious if you had heard that, if they are slowing down, or it's kind of sounding like maybe not, if they're reaching out to you about this.
No, I don't know that they're slowing down. I do know that I've seen some YouTube videos from Kyle where, you know, he does talk about perhaps their disappointment in the fact that they were not one of the top 21s, and I'm sure it may impact the funds that they have available to move forward. You know, maybe this new fork, the Telos fork that's out there, maybe they'll be able to take their block producer candidacy and move over and actually become a block producer on a fork chain. I hope that works out for them. And I hope that it doesn't slow down their dApp. It's one of the ones that I'm excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I've been kind of the bad guy on this one. I definitely, you know, wish them the best, and I hope it works out for sure.
John Paul, I would never say you're the bad guy.
I've been trying to play the devil's advocate.
There you go.
But so thank you for running over that Higher Vibes with us. And, you know, if any of the Higher Vibes people are listening, you're welcome to come join us on the show sometime and give us even more and maybe down the road once you launch and all of that. But I wanted to ask you, Chaney, as the king of the airdrops, we've had some pretty big airdrops happening recently, specifically the IQ token from Everipedia. And we had Mabode on from Everipedia in one of our early episodes. So listeners are familiar with Everipedia, and they're probably pretty excited about it. I know I am. This is one that I just really like the whole project, basically replacing or moving Wikipedia, moving the world's knowledge onto the blockchain, and then incentivizing people with IQ tokens to improve and expand on that knowledge. So the airdrop just happened pretty recently. And what do you think?
Yeah, you're right. We all should have received 5.1 IQ for every EOS token that we had at Genesis. And it's done amazingly well. It's got a lot of chatter out there, a lot of traction. It's trading on chains right now. I pulled it up, and it is about 7,000th of an EOS per IQ. Remember, we got five. So that's about, for every EOS token that you held, you got about, what does that be, about 35, almost 40 cents of value already today per EOS token. So that's a pretty good return. You can take those out right now. I'm not sure if you're aware, but you can't edit Everipedia yet, but you can go ahead if you'd like, and you can stake those tokens to edit and be ready to go when it opens up for editing. So they're getting ready to go. You've got the tokens, they got the tools in place, and pretty soon they're going to open the doors and you can stake those and use those tokens to make changes. And I'm excited by it. I'm actually trying to get, Chains is having a little bit of a promo right now, where if you put your IQ on Chains, they'll throw your name in a hat and you can get some more Chains tokens as well. I'm trying to go through the KYC right now and get access to that platform and maybe move some of my IQ over there just for the chance to get some additional tokens.
Cool.
But I'm excited.
I just did a little bit of math based on the math you just did. And I think that's about a 5% return.
Not too shabby, is it?
So yeah, if you just took them and sold them right now, 5% return just from having registered your tokens before the Genesis. That's pretty cool. I'm on your scale. I'm more of a lunar landing on the IQ token. I think it's has huge potential. I would definitely use it, etc. I think it's going to be successful. And so I'm not planning on selling any of mine. But yeah, it's just exciting, and it's exciting to see some of these tokens that there have been several airdrops, but none of them have really had a price.
That's right. We haven't had the exchanges yet. Well, EOS DAC did as an ERC-20 token. It did have a price, but on the new EOS blockchain, no. This one is really the first one, and chains are really the first ones that we've actually had a price associated with the tokens they're trading out there in the real world. And if you chose to sell them today, you could do that. So you're right. We have now seen value from the EOS blockchain besides RAM trading fees, right? It's cranking along, and hopefully it's going to keep picking up steam as hopefully in the near future we'll get a DEX up and running, and we'll have other centralized exchanges that continue to bring and onboard these airdrop tokens.
Can you tell us real quick a little bit about chains?
Sure.
I know some people just may not be familiar with that.
It is a exchange token. It goes by the symbol CET. Chains is a new exchange that's up and running on the EOS blockchain here. And right now they've got about a half dozen tokens listing. IQ and the Chains token are one of those. EOS is the trading pair for Bitcoin, Ethereum, OCT, and you can actually trade RAM on there as well, which is pretty cool. Like I said, I'm not active on there yet, but what their token does, they've got 2 billion tokens that they've created, and they get a fee for every trade. I think it is 0.2%. And they take half of that trading fee and put that into a pool. And that trading fee is in EOS, and they put it in a pool, and then they distribute. If you choose to freeze your tokens on the exchange, they will distribute 1/2 billionth per Chains token to you. And as that continues to grow, you can continue to take out that portion of the additional revenue. So let's say there's 100 in there today, and you take out, you have 1% of the Chains tokens. You can take out 1 EOS today. And let's say then it grows to 300. Well, you've already got your portion of that first 100, but now you can get 2 out of those additional 200 that have grown because you own 1/100th of that. Then if you ever choose to unlock or unfreeze your tokens and sell them, you have to repay Chains, the platform, those 3 EOS back into that pool. So it's going to be doing a couple things here that are really kind of intriguing. It's going to be locking up EOS. It's going to be taking EOS out of circulation, that as long as the Chains token is not frozen, it's going to be basically frozen EOS. So it's going to remove those from circulation, which hopefully when you remove anything from circulation, decreases supply. You know, the demand is steady. It's going to hopefully increase the price of EOS. But then two, it's another passive income token, if you will. Right now it's trading at almost at 3% of an EOS token. So that would be right now today about 20 cents. So another, you know, and you do your math again, what are we, about $7.50, 20 cents? It's 3% return. Obviously I should have done that a little faster. It's trading at 3%. You know, it's, not a bad return. Here we are, just our first few airdrops, and based on the price of EOS today, not necessarily what you bought it at, but price of EOS today, you're already getting a 7-8% return.
Yeah, not bad at all. I mean, this is interesting because it's kind of a passive income on top of passive income, right? Like we bought the EOS tokens first and then just buy and hold, wait, and IQ tokens come to us, chains, the CET token comes to us, and then the CET, you can can get passive income off of that.
Yeah, it's a ever, yeah, you're right. Not only can you get passive income, but it's EOS again. So it's kind of fulfilling the circle there. You bought EOS to get chains, and now you're getting EOS again. So it's kind of a fun little game we're playing here with all these airdrops.
Nice. Yeah, and increasing the amount of EOS you have, sometime down the line, some of these airdrops will be dropping not on the Genesis snapshot, but on some later snapshot. So you may be kind of rolling those new EOS into now a new airdrop that would then be passive income on top of passive income on top of passive income.
Where does it end, right? Where does it end? Insanity. I did that actually with my EOS stack. I know a lot of people have held them dearly, but I sold my EOS stack back before the Genesis snapshot back in May. I think I sold them for 17 or 18 cents and turned around and bought more EOS. And then, so, you know, I've already turned one of my airdrops into additional to 17, 18, 25 other Genesis airdrop eventually tokens. So thank you, EOS stack, because it's paid out or is going to pay out multiple times in that regards.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Very nice.
Some other things that are going on. We had the challenge token was dropped. Is Kent from EOS San Diego is his handle on YouTube. You can go out and look for him. Look for the video. They dropped 2 for 1. That's 2 billion out of a circulation of 2.7 billion. It's in 3 stages. I think they've completed the second stage. It's a physical fitness and a physical fitness challenge application. I haven't gone through the whole white paper yet, but I believe that you can challenge your friends to try to get fit, and you can put up some challenge tokens that have value eventually. And you can say, look, $100, man, you work out for a couple of weeks or work out for a couple of months. If you lose 10 pounds or if you do X, Y, and Z, you can get these unlocked. So it's kind of a reward system for getting people fit. And I like it. You know, I try to work out, and man, if someone's going to pay me to work out, I would do it. The other one that's going on that's kind of interesting happening right now, I mentioned earlier, Telos, that is an announced fork. They're doing some slight, it's using the EOS blockchain, the EOS code, but they're going to change some of the governance and some of the token structure slightly. So they're going to use a Genesis snapshot, except they're going to exclude whales. And what that is going to do is they're going to limit or cap the amount of tokens at 40,000 tokens per wallet. So if any wallet has more than that, they're going to be limited to just 40,000 tokens. And I believe they're going to exclude exchanges as well. Don't hold me to that. So that brings their total circulation to 330 million. They're not going to keep the 100 million that Block One kept. I believe they're keeping 12 million for certain costs and fees and getting some other things done. So there's only a third of the tokens in circulation. So that's going to be interesting. They're going to not allow exchanges to be block producers. They're going to take the block producers and they're going to swap them out on a recurring basis, I believe. So you don't necessarily have the top 21 that are going to be in there all the time. I believe they're going to be on some sort of rotating schedule. So I've looked at Evolutionos. I've looked at EOS Classic. I've looked at some other ones. This is really what I think is the first true fork of EOS we've seen. And I'm excluding Wax and I'm excluding the Ono, you know, these side chains that are doing their own thing with EOS. We're going to get these tokens. We're going to be the community again. And I'm excited to see how this plays out. Even if it doesn't work, even if it fails, I think we have a good opportunity to learn some things here and try some new governance and see how it plays out. But I'm very positive with some competition. I think even Dan on Telegram says he welcomes competition. And this is ours, guys. You know, be critical of it, but be excited for it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is free tokens. It's almost like an airdrop, right?
It's almost like a little baby EOS right now. You know, it's gonna do good things. It's going to grow some, it's going to have a different RAM model. It's going to pick up probably maybe some developers that couldn't get enough money to airdrop or use, you know, or develop or choose for whatever reason they don't like the governance model, it's going to give those folks another opportunity, another bite at the EOS apple. And it's a good thing, guys.
Yeah. I'm definitely all for competition and more tokens and things like that. And it kind of makes it so that, let's say, the EOS main chain has some catastrophe or whatever, and it falls apart or something. Well, we have an alternative. It's not like this whole project was for nothing, right? If it doesn't work out, there are going to be some competition to improve and then also an alternative. So it's pretty cool.
I agree. And hopefully it'll succeed and we'll all get some value out of it. And maybe some others will take the initiative and do something similar if there's a need in the future.
Are there any other airdrops that are happening soon, happened recently, or just developments in this space that you think people should know about?
You know, there are quite a few still Genesis snapshots tokens that we're expecting here in the future. We're just waiting for them to announce it. You know, they don't really tell us when exactly they're going to drop them. In some cases, sometimes they just surprise us. There is a couple that are supposed to happen in July. Whether or not they hold to that, I don't know. The cards and tokens airdrop is supposed to happen in July. That is a kind of a collector or card generation app. I'm not sure. I haven't really dug into that one too much, if it's got a whole lot of value associated with it. And then there's one out there. It's kind of called AWU. It's kind of a group think DAC, and it's supposed to airdrop in July 27th. Whether or not they're ready or not, I don't know. I haven't found out a lot on them other than their website.
Okay.
And then actually, you know, there's a couple other game ones out there that are going on right now. Prospectors, you could have registered by June 30th. If you tried that, it was just a little massive multiplayer online economic strategy game. I got my 10 prospector tokens for registering there. And then I believe Crypto Wizards, by the time you probably air this, will hopefully be up and running. I have registered for my wizard and hopefully I get my wizard and I can play around with that kind of like CryptoKitties here in the near future.
Yeah. And with that, I think they also have, I don't know if they've closed the window for this yet. Well, by the time you're listening, they probably have, but they had a referral program where you can refer somebody and then you get more wizards.
It'll be fun to play. I did not play Monsterios, but I may give Crypto Wizards a shot here.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing with these games. I think that, honestly, that could be really the path to more widespread adoption for crypto generally. Because in a lot of games, there is kind of a financial aspect. Often it's just made up, right? It's like, oh, you win some gold and it's not actually real.
Microtransactions, though, of course, are a huge thing. My son loves to play Fortnite, and he's always bugging me about getting on and buying some skins or some other things that he wants to do. So there are some real world, and you can check out Wax, obviously, for some of those, but some real world value associated with gaming. And if it drives up the TPS of the chain and we can see, really give it some stress tests, cool. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. And then, so there's another one I just saw, which the name I forget, and I don't think it's airdropping. I think it's more of like an experimental kind of thing. And they were partnering with Scatter.
Mm-hmm.
See this where,
oh yeah, the first person shooter.
Yeah. Where basically if in order to play, you stake some tokens.
And then if you die, you drop some tokens.
Yeah, if you die, you lose some. If you shoot the other person, then they get, or you get their tokens that they lose. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, you know, if you've shot more people than you've been shot by, then you have more than you started with. So that's just another one of these models of gaming that has this financial incentive. And I just think these types of things will really push adoption. Mm-hmm. Personally.
Yeah, we're almost to, except for the VR, we're almost to Ready Player One. You know, we're going to have money associated with our little avatar playing games and getting rewarded or not rewarded based on our performance. So it's exciting. And you're right. You know, if I can hand my phone off to my son and let him play a game on EOS man, sure, that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, right now there are professional gamers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to like kind of join a league and go and play in tournaments and things like that and get sponsored and whatever. I'm not in that industry, but I think that's how it works. But with this, you wouldn't have to deal with any of that. You could just be really good and make money just by playing, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Now I will end here or you know, mention one that's a negative that we've had here recently. We saw that CTOS has exited. They were the one trying to do some universal healthcare. I'd mentioned before they had, you'd asked about them previously, and I said they had really lofty goals and needed a lot of help to get that done. And I don't think they found that help, and they had trouble airdropping, and the price of RAM priced them out of the market. And I think they decided to close up instead of finishing that airdrop, to close up the project and move on to other things. So I'm going to mark off, I haven't done it yet, but mark off CTOS on my spreadsheet here as an incomplete airdrop and as of right now, a dead project.
Interesting. I had not heard that. I think I actually got some of the airdrop.
Mm-hmm. I did as well.
But that is very interesting. That's too bad.
Yeah, we talked about this before. Not every project is going to be a slam dunk. Not every project is going to win. There's going to be a very high ratio of projects that don't succeed to those that do. You can see that in almost any aspect of the crypto space today. And we've had our first announced casualty here.
First casualty
on the blockchain. Actually, I think there was another one that may be in trouble. I haven't looked into it just yet, but someone mentioned that Lab Ledger may be in trouble, but don't quote me on that one. I haven't seen or tried to find any additional information on it.
Okay. Yeah, I just went to the CTOS.io website and it's already gone. So,
yep.
Well, another one bites the dust.
But the first one bites the dust. Hopefully, we don't have too many many more in the near future. So I'm going to move that one off my spreadsheet.
Yeah. Well, again, we didn't really mention it in this episode, but Cheney has a great spreadsheet, which I will link to in the show notes for this, along with some of his articles and things like that. But the spreadsheet summarizes all of the airdrops. It's a very comprehensive list that gives link to their website, so you can go and check it out. That's what I was just looking at here when I clicked over to the CTOS website and saw it having disappeared. But it's just really helpful. I mean, it's hard to keep up with all this stuff, and Cheney does a great job here, and he's graciously put it out there for the rest of the world to benefit from as well. So I appreciate that.
No problem. And I just went to check out Lab Ledger, and it looks like they are gone as well, unfortunately. Let me just double check here. But yeah, they may be down too. I'll go see them. I'll go check them out on Twitter later and verify that.
Well, that's the way of the crypto world, I guess. But I guess we'll end that on that note, on a sad note.
I know. I hate to do that to you. good things are coming, folks. Don't let this get you down. We've still got another. Let me just do a real quick look. We still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 Genesis snapshot airdrops that are haven't even started dropping yet. And then we got another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, another 13, I believe, non-announced snapshot projects that are still coming. So good times, man. Don't let those few get you down.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. There's so much to come, and I just had a quick question. There are a few like EOS VR where they want you to kind of send some tokens. Well, like this one in particular is send 0.0001 EOS to their contract in order. It's kind of like a way to register on chain.
As right, well. I have no problem with that. That's absolutely fine, and actually. Later, they're experimenting right now. But so go ahead if you want to claim those tokens. You know, it's 1/1000th of EOS. What is that? That's 7/10 of a penny right now. So it's less than a penny. If you want to go ahead and do that, that's fine. There's no risk there. However, they, you know, there's not a whole lot of information on EOS VR, and there's not or EVR, and they in their white paper ask for additional money as an ICO, so we don't know anything about them yet. Don't send them additional funds. If you want to collect your EVR, that's fine. But there's a new model out there instead of airdropping. and it's called the, what they've dubbed it as the poor man's airdrop, if you will. And it's a project where you can actually make the end user, the ultimate receiver of those tokens, claim those tokens and pay for the RAM essentially. So by sending that little bit of EOS to a contract, you're basically agreeing to enter, you're taking that RAM fee. And for one account, that's just a few hundred bytes, I believe. So it's a very small amount of RAM. Everybody should have enough of it if they're not doing anything else with their RAM. It's not a problem for one person to pay for one token's RAM. But when you're looking at it dropping to hundreds of thousands of people, that gets very expensive. Now, when we first started the chain, you could airdrop to everybody for $4,000 or $5,000 of RAM. Now, with the RAM speculation, it went up to over $200,000. I'm not sure where it is today. But by using that form, you can basically airdrop to people for free. So hopefully this will fix and get some momentum, and developers will use this metric if they can't afford today to pay for the current airdrop model.
Okay. And so the catch though with that is that you have to actively go and claim the tokens. You can't just sit back and find them in your wallet later.
That's exactly right. It takes some interaction for those, and hopefully they won't put cutoff dates. You know, they won't say claim your tokens by July, right? Hopefully it will be, hey, they're there forever for you to claim. If they want to do it right, and you have a snapshot on the state, and if you're that address, you should be able to claim those tokens in 10 years if you see fit. So that's really the only equitable way to make that happen. And it's fine. I don't have a problem with that. If they're not, you know, people don't like registering, but I haven't heard many people complaining about sending 1/1000th of an EOS or 1/10000th of an EOS for EVR tokens, really.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, hey, thank you for all the info here and for everything you're doing to research these airdrops. I hope you'll come back in a few weeks and tell us more about some airdrops and the exciting things going on. And thank you so much for joining me in exploring EOS today.
Hey, John Paul, thanks again for having me.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Head over to exploringeos.com and leave a comment and let us know if this is the type of episode you want. I think we get a pretty good response when we talk about airdrops and dApps that are coming to the EOS platform, but I want to know what you think. So come on over, make a comment, and let us know what you want to hear from the Exploring EOS podcast. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and review the podcast so that we can spread it to more people. And thank you today for joining me in Exploring EOS. The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.